Welcome back to our regular Venture Maidens programming. We're picking up the main story with episode 14, brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/DSPN. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Now here's the show.
Gather round, quickly, while the barbarian is distracted by the tapping of the keg.
Got a fresh barrel of ale over there. Hey, look, stop futzing with it. Just let me do it.
Now where was I? The rock, the salt flats. Oh, yes. This week, our heroes do battle with the strange band of hunters.
Alright, we're gonna do this. Cheers, I know. Alright, ready? You gotta slam your cup down.
Will they make it out of this fight alive? When will they reach
hit
the sister's keep?
The table, then you
what
throw
secrets
back.
Does that mask hide? Find out in episode 14, Veils by Comparison.
Hey, where'd that old guy go? I wasn't done with my story. Come back.
Hey, everybody. Hey, welcome to a new episode of the Venture Maidens podcast. I hope you didn't miss us too much.
We missed
while
you.
We recorded our rad bonus episode, but it was pretty groovy.
Sage is with us again.
Yay,
yes,
we're
indeed.
All back together. The original crew.
Fuck yeah.
Wow, so we haven't played for a little bit, so we're going to have to recap, everybody. But before we do that, intros, of course. I am your dungeon master, Celeste Conowich.
I'm your Elven Warlock, played by Brittany. Excuse me, Elven Warlock Arnadel, played by Brittany.
I'm the Human Monk Saya, played by Nassim.
And back again is your Dwarven Barbarian Kara, played by myself, Sage.
Yay! All right, let's pull it out of the brain holes, everybody. What happened last time?
So I'm dying!
So much happened last time.
Oh my god, you're like super dying.
Are you dying? You're just on top of the bird.
There were some pretty terrible rolls that happened.
Yeah.
Wait, where did I write my damage? Hold on, I think it's in my notebook.
Did you I didn't even realize you took damage.
Yeah.
Let's see. We received our gifts, and then we were told to go to the Sisters of Sorrow Keep and meet Rem, and then we woke up in the van, and then...
The cart.
The cart.
Because they don't have vans in magical fantasy.
It's like a van.
Yeah.
Carts are like a van.
It's one of those white, creepy vans.
I imagine it like the Ninja Turtle van or something.
It's got a big pizza on the side.
Exactly.
Valerius is super into pizza.
Is he? He does not seem the type to be into pizza. He seems like he's on a strict vegan organic
diet.
Only
Neapolitana pizza. That's the only kind.
Or I can imagine margarita.
Hey, I like margarita pizza. That's my favorite.
Well, it's the original pizza. So
it's
obviously.
Pizza.
It's kind of a tie between margarita and Hawaiian, to be honest, but whatever. Anyway.
Ew, Hawaiian.
Not about
here.
Fucking, I love
goddamn
that.
Goddamn barbarian.
Dude, sweet and savory is what it's about.
Nope. Don't put that fruit on there.
So
if it's not tomato, I don't want it.
Arnadel and Aaron finally, had their conversation. Well, I don't even know if that really counted. There was a conversation kind of happened.
It was real weird.
I don't know how much was accomplished with that.
It was just real awkward. Everything is always so awkward.
Yeah.
Well, he tried really hard to have that conversation. I think Arnadel was sort of shutting him down a little bit. Not to be a slighted NPC or anything.
Was she?
I don't know. I don't remember it like that.
Okay, he apologized, and I was like, hey, man, it's cool. Like, don't worry about it. We're working here. Like, it's all good. I thought Arnadel handled that very graciously. And then it got weird. It got steamy.
As like you were inside the igloo.
Yeah, he smelled good.
You guys remember that?
Oh, but before we got to the igloo, we were sensed far off in the distance was a rock, a giant bird that was following us and basically circling us. And then so we unhooked a horse from the cart and sent it and covered it with shiny shit and sent it off into the distance so that the bird would be amused by the shiny things.
Yeah,
so
that
we
was
could
sad.
Run away.
That was super sad, but that was a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
But then later on, he came back. And we had to hide, and thus the igloo. And then all these desert folk came out on their horses and started attacking the bird. And what it was because of Arnadel, wasn't it? She started to feel bad and was like, we have to help it. And tried to speak with it.
I didn't feel, I mean, yeah, I felt kind of bad for the bird, but the logic more lied in that, okay, we're literally stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Oh my god, it's like the episode.
Oh my god. And I was like, okay,
we, how apropos.
We're probably going to have a much easier time convincing this rock not to kill us than all of these men.
Yeah.
You know, that was the logic.
You don't know they're men. Anyway, so yeah, you had camped out in the igloo as this battle seemingly like raged before you all, and you saw the fallen rock on the ground had been like roped in and captured by this band of traveling desert folk. Some of them were mounted on large beast-like wolves, so I think one of you had determined that they were wargs.
No, you accidentally slipped up.
Oh, they're wargs. And folks were riding around with them, and they seemed really well prepared for this fight. Like, maybe this was their intention all along to track down this beast. So this battle had kind of ensued around this earthen igloo that had been sprung up by your new companion, Valerius. Sort of lukewarmly received, I'm guessing, from you all.
Oh man, we all ganged up on him so hard when he was talking mad shit, and we're like, no, you didn't! Get out of here, Mr. Fancy Pants!
Yeah, he like kind of shit-talked all of us a little bit, and it was really sweet. We all stuck up for each other.
Yeah, it was great. Really brought us together.
And
everyone needs a villain.
Saya was a motherfucking wing woman. I have got, like, later, Arnadel's gonna want to, like, elbow tap, fist bump. Yeah, girl, thanks.
Chest bump.
Good.
Yeah, right. We decided that chest the fist bump is the elven, yes. The fist bump was the proper elven greeting.
Yeah, an elven greeting. That was well established. That is canonical. To the elven people.
I forgot about that.
Also, apparently, rock, paper, scissors is how the wizard's favorite game.
Yes, and in Dwarven, they call it Rochambeau.
Anyway, moving swiftly along. So, Arnadel, you had decided to charge out of the igloo into this fight for whatever reason compelled. You're like, no, I have to do this, and you charged out.
Oh, you were invisible, yeah.
I was like, yeah, something came over me.
Yeah, and you decided you had to go. So basically the situation was you had seen these individuals who were basically trying to hunt, take down this rock, and based on a general check, you had determined that, I mean, a rock is a really big prize. These 20 riders had been going in there, and so they had had about 6 of these giant wargs between them, and you remember they had had the spear holders who were on, like, the front end, and then they had had folks who were running around with ropes to basically bind this gigantic avian beast as they were going. So it was a skilled operation, and you had looked out on this, you're like, yeah, and decided you tried to make your way through the big circle of the wargs that were running around, of the spear holders that were running around, and the rope circle that had moved through. So you basically cut a path, and Aaron had jumped in there with you, also helping to slash ropes with his daggers as he was moving through. So you guys were basically destroying that. Saya, you had tried to jump up and over to actually like land onto the bird. Through the midst of the action, and Kara, you had run in with the best of your ability going, I remember
stab,
you killed
stab,
it,
stab.
At least 3 of the footmen as you were slinging through, and a bunch of them now totally unprepared for this assault. The whole plan has kind of fallen apart. The rope structure and the net they had woven is just in pieces now. So you were all standing amidst this huge scene of chaos. Oh wait, Sawyer. Didn't you ride in with a horse with Valerius?
And almost squished Arnadel?
Yes, but Arnadel had used her
future vision.
Sort of new gift. Yeah, do you guys want to talk about your gifts again?
Future vision.
That were bestowed to you?
I have future vision, and yes, I made Steven Universe references because I fucking love that cartoon. Oh my god. It's so good. And Garnet's amazing. So yeah, I have future vision.
She's immensely, my favorite.
Immensely proud of that.
And basically what that allows you to do is force a reroll that was made against you.
Yes.
So either like an attack or something ill that happens that has to roll against you or damage, you could force a reroll.
Attack and damage?
Yes. Or damage.
That's pretty sweet.
You can force your DM
to reroll.
The mediator of fate to reroll anything.
That's cool. Would that also count for an ability check against me?
Yes.
Oh, fuck, that's so sick. Oh my god.
Yeah. And then Nassim, your the gift of the present, as it was fondly
monikered, is the ability to briefly stop time, so really rerolling something that I do, right?
So basically, the way it works, it's like, it's not you so much stopping time as you move faster than everything else. So you get to grant yourself an additional 6 second round at any point. So you can insert that to take another action, like in a round cycle, or like you could add that on top of what you already have. Not so much that you stop time, but you perceive time as it is and move faster than it.
You're like Quicksilver from the X-Men.
Yeah. Wait, remind us though. Right. Is that something that we can
You're
do
just so fast.
Once a day? Or?
Once a day.
Okay.
Alright, and Sage?
Mine is the gift of the past is that if I like, oh shit, I just rolled a one. Once per long rest, I can choose to reroll that. Mm-hmm. Hit the oh shit button.
Yeah.
And try
again. You can choose to reroll on a check or on damage.
Cool.
If you wish. So kind of the opposite of Brittany's ability.
God.
She can force a reroll while you can control one of your own.
Could you imagine if we all used our gifts, like, at the same time?
The world would explode.
We'd create a tear. We would just create a tear in space.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
Putting a portable hole in a bag of holding.
Yeah.
So that's just before I tried to leap onto the rock itself, and in traditional monk fashion, failed miserably.
In traditional Saye fashion. I would say monks are usually pretty good at this stuff. Do you have a new dice, Gurr? Sounds like you need one.
Well, this one's treating me well tonight, so that's the one I'm going with.
Saye and Arnadel, you've already used your gifts. I don't believe Kara has yet.
No, I haven't.
All right, so let's dive in. Situation, because things got pretty crazy. The last moment that had happened, Arnadel, you had made your way over to the great beast, and the majority of the ropes on its right side, so its right wing, had been cut, so it was able to leverage its wing sort of free. And you had spoken to it using diplomacy, animal handling, your mental telepathy, and conveyed, hey, we're here to help you. Mm-hmm. And the bird seemed to recognize that and looked towards you for a moment, stopped its struggle, and then made a renewed effort as, with the leverage now given to its right wing, it had ripped the cords free. And all the riders and the men around who are still, like, alive just are thrown in complete disarray as this amount of action has happened so quickly and they're not even really sure what's going on. I'm going to have you all roll initiative again for me.
Okay.
Now that we have a new NPC in the mix.
18.
I rolled a 15, but I don't remember what my dex is. Stand by. Ooh. I rolled a 19.
I rolled a 6.
Valerius. And then Aaron. Oh, so many NPCs, you guys. And then the Rock. Oh, man. This is so much, kids. Well, the Rock got a natural 1.
Whoa.
That's fantastic. All right.
Oh, this is Paul's, but, like, for real, like, real talk, though, I would totally be a Sith.
I would Jedi. No, I am all about the Jedi code.
Incredible.
You can't have sex as a Jedi.
I would be a gray Jedi.
They have relationships.
No, they
no, they're forbidden.
They had relationships.
They literally can't.
You guys clearly didn't watch Clone Wars. Obi-Wan totally has a steamy relationship with another character, and it's bittersweet.
That was before he was a Jedi.
What age did they become Padawans? Nah, they had a thing. You're a Padawan before.
They didn't have a thing.
They had a fucking thing, and like.
They did. It was, the tension is steamy.
Dude, it was. And it was so sad, I cried. I totally cried. Anyway.
Okay, I don't know what you're talking about, but I want the cool armor and the red crystals to upgrade my sabers, so, you know, whatever.
Jedi all the way.
Totally a Sith.
Jedi!
Hashtag Sith team. Dark side. Okay. Anyway, so a general description before we sort of dive into everything. But imagine this whole battle as a large three-tiered circle right now. So the rock itself is huge. It's a huge creature. So it's taking up a gigantic amount of space in the center of the circle. So on that center ring right now, Sawyer, you have jumped, kind of fallen onto the back of this thing. So you're sitting in between. It's like, you're actually on the left wing. So right now, if this thing were to take off, you'd be in a pretty precarious position. Just letting you know, straight away, you ungracefully fell onto the back of this thing. The second ring, you would have the moving footmen. So recall again that they were dressed in that desert traveler garb. So totally in like white linens, the capes, everything, like the big packs, and they're holding long spears. So these are like the 10-foot spears that they were using to manipulate the ropes that were being wrapped around. So if you want to imagine this like a, you know, basic chemistry atom, that'd be a good way to think about this fight, you know. So there are 6 of them on that middle ring. And then on the very outside ring, Kara, you disturbed a lot of these, and then also the horse running through a few of the riders. So some of the throne riders have actually moved into the mid-tier. But right now you have 2 of these giant wargs moving around that are still bearing riders, and they're like on the outermost tier, so that's where Kara is. And Arnadelle, you're sort of drifting in between the 2 middle pieces, standing next to Aaron. And then the rest of the wargs at this point have just gone running off because either their riders have been dislodged, or the riders seem to have given up, or the beasts are just sort of taking back the situation because they're scared as hell right now.
Mayhem!
So you're looking at 6 footmen, 2 wargs, and then 2 riders on top of the wargs. So you're facing 10 folks right now. And again, to reiterate, you haven't made direct checks or perceptions to perceive more information about what these riders actually look like.
Am I up first in initiative?
Okay.
You are indeed.
Well, let me go ahead and take a motherfucking hint and roll a perception check.
Hey.
Yeah. Or I guess, you know what, I'm gonna do investigate.
So I would call this perception versus investigation.
Doesn't matter, I rolled a 1.
So,
but I'm gonna,
there's,
you know what,
so much going on right now. You just talked to this bird and it looked you deep in the eyes and you're like, oh my god, yeah. Like, oh, bird gods are real. And you saw its soul and it saw yours, and
it,
like,
would
you
it
just can't.
Would it maybe make me question whether or not I liked birds or snakes? Anyway, so I'm gonna go and I'm gonna cast some shit. I would like to cast, I wanna know how Shatter works. Yes, I have cast Shatter, haven't I?
Yes.
No, fuck it. I'm gonna cast Witch Bolt on the closest motherfucker by me.
Okay, so closest right now to you are the footmen in the inner ring.
Okay.
So if you want to go ahead and, like, shoot at one of them.
Yes.
Totally.
Yeah.
I am going to give you disadvantage on this because of how distracted you were during your perception.
Damn!
So, like, you're so overwhelmed by everything, you're even having a hard time getting purchase on any of the folks around you, and, like, don't forget, you're in the salt flat, so everything is hot and glistening and, like, shining weird and...
That's intense. That's intense. Do I have to cat... I mean... Okay, so I need to roll to hit. But disadvantage.
Yes. So I'll be rolling 2 die.
So that's gonna be... What's 7 plus 8? 15?
Yes.
Yep.
Roll 15. My
with disadvantage?
Yeah, my first roll was a 19.
Damn.
And my second roll was a 7. Hits. Really? Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
Mofo.
So yeah, this beam of cackling blue energy lances out toward this dude. Or person, because you haven't specified if they're male.
It's very hard to tell without further perception.
Okay.
Even what race they are. They're all varying sizes and shapes from a cursory glance. So you may not even assume that they're all human.
Gotcha. So I'm gonna roll my D12, which is ridiculous. Damn.
Which ball?
I rolled a 1. What the fuck is up with this? I rolled one damage.
But which bolt you get to maintain every round as long as you concentrate. Yes. So. All right, so you shoot off and like you're kind of watching like the spinning motion of this ring of folks moving around you, and they're trying to maintain form, but also there's so much going on that they're kind of running all over the place, and the heat and the salt and your eyes are burning and it's so hard, and just kind of throw magic right out of this shell hoping to hit a target. And you manage to find purchase on one of these individuals, and they're just like as it happens, and the spear sort of recedes, and they're all like going back to this defensive position as opposed to that hunter stands, clearly waiting for someone to give them some kind of instruction.
I feel like with a 1 damage, that's more of like a
I mean, I think it'd be scary if a bolt of, you know, purple, blue electricity came hurling at you, even if it didn't do so much. It feels like a really bad shock.
Okay.
Like, if you unplug something and you're like, oh, God, then you feel weird for a bit. All right.
it stays
so actually,
with you.
Sawyer, it is your turn. So you are on the back of this creature. And you can feel, after its interaction with Arnadel, it is kind of shifting and moving, and so it had burst its left wing, like, out of its confines. Mm-hmm. So the beast, you can actually feel its musculature underneath you. It's, like, kind of stretching and testing just to make sure that everything's okay. So it feels like action is soon to come with the great beast, and you're sort of, like, rippling on top of it. At this moment, like, does it, oh shit.
Does it feel like it's gonna take off any second, or is it still being held down enough? Because if it's got enough ropes on it, I'm gonna try to make perception.
You could make either, it would be an insight or a handle animal to determine what you think it's gonna do next.
Oh, whatever, we'll do animal handling. That is 16.
You feel like this thing is getting ready for takeoff, definitely. So you have very limited time to make a choice whether you want to dive up into the air there or try and jump off.
Boy!
Let's try to jump off and glide right down its feathers.
So an acrobatics or an athletics would be great.
Acrobatics, please.
Indeed.
21.
And she sticks the landing.
Ta-da! All the riders pull out 10 signs. So yeah, as you go and you kind of, because you had landed sort of halfway between like the main body and the wing of this beast, so you're actually in a great position to just sort of throw up your arms and roll log style down the wings of this creature as it's like flapping, and every once in a while, you know, they heave upward, so you get a little like 2 foot toss in the air as you're going.
It's but like
you
riding just one of those crazy slides at a fair.
Exactly, yeah. You're like, whoa! But you manage to get off to the tip of the wing and gain your footing on the edge there, just as the beast is, yeah, definitely beginning to flap. And now all the dust is forming as this salt is just being pushed off the plains just by the great force of this beast's wing.
Am I near any of them?
Yeah, no, so you use your move action to do that. So now you're on the outside circle where these footmen are. So one of them is actually very close to you, about within 5 feet. And is sort of like, what the hell? As you just come rolling like off of this giant bird.
I want to try to get their attention after I take out this guy and say, we need to go. We need to run away. Okay.
All right.
So I want to
try and take out this guy.
Yeah, just with my quarterstaff. I'm gonna go for his nuts. And
nice.
Oh, very nice. That's an unnatural 20. And
oh baby. We're gonna start calling that move lucky. An old baby.
Or a no baby.
I'm sorry. That
Do was... I always add my strength mod to damage rolls?
Yes.
Okay. Then
yes. You always then add it if you're using one of your unarmed.
It's a four.
It's a four.
Four damage.
Okay. So you just
as soon as I gain my footing and I see this guy who just notices me, I take out my quarterstaff with two hands and just kind of like jab it. From, like, an under, from below.
You just roll off, like, a delicate, like, flower, and you're like, not today.
I gracefully stand up and smack him, pushing its dick up into itself. Just like that.
Ooh, God, you're so mean. You do that.
Tell us and, how Sawyer really feels.
Yeah. His eyes cross as the pain of the ages moves through his face. And he falls down, clutching his stomach first, and then, like, drops to the ground as, like, So he's knocked prone.
Oh, hell yeah.
I feel like he might even be incapacitated.
He is definitely prone. Not quite incapacitated yet, but he's like, oh my god. It's like, you monster! Like raises a fist and then is like, no, wait, never mind.
Cups haven't been invented yet.
God damn it.
Hell yeah.
All right. And then Kara.
Oh boy.
Let's get out of here.
Start smashing those nuts.
Guys, we need to leave the circle.
Okay.
He's gonna dive bomb.
Kara admits her rage. We probably would not hear you, nor care. Yeah, I will make a perception check to see if I hear her and to assess out other enemies nearby and get a good look at them.
For sure.
I got a 12.
Okay. So looking at the general scope of the enemies, the first thing you kind of all noticed is what becomes immediately obvious. They're not all human, all of these riders. It's a large set of like assorted heights and sizes, so you're thinking you could probably have everything here from half-orcs to halflings in this band. And because they are wearing the dust masks and the attire that completely almost shields their face except for the section where their eyes are showing, it's really hard for you to specifically determine gender or race. The disarray that has been caused by your attack. The footmen in the center are holding tight and trying to maintain a line, but they are definitely checking back in. You actually see their heads keep turning back to the two seated riders who are still on the wargs. So you determine that those people are probably leading the charge. That's what your like your warrior mind would determine. And these individuals both look about medium humanoid size, though you can't specifically tell what they are. And you see now that they're actually branching a little bit away from the main cluster.
Uh-huh.
If everything went very poorly, they're sort of getting out of the range.
Yeah, they're gonna get the fuck out.
So that's what you determine with your general perception.
I would like to run towards one of them on the outside.
Okay.
And she's going to put back her battle axe and grab out. She's gonna have a hand axe in each hand and she's gonna fling one at the warg. Yeah.
Alright, so basically from where you're standing, there's one, like if you were looking in a circle, there's one about 20 feet away from you on the left side, and there's one like a 60 foot shot on the far right side.
Alright, I'll go for 20 feet on the left.
Fair enough. Alright, you've just thrown your hand axe right into that flank.
Yep.
Let's go.
I got 17.
That totally hits.
Hell yeah. 4, 8 damage.
Damn.
Ooh, 10 damage, because I'm raging.
Oh, that's a lot of damage.
Get out of here, warg. Yeah.
Damn.
Alright, so you see this thing, like, as you move and just aim with true dwarven precision, your hand axe sinking into the hind flanks of this beast. It fells immediately as its right leg is just completely crippled, and you see the rider, who's all cloaked in white at this point, sort of does this athletic maneuver to move off of the thing, so they sort of throw themselves off to the side and maintain their footing. And at the same time, this figure manages to draw two long swords that were strapped to the side of the warg in this very deft, very military-minded maneuver that even you feel a little bit impressed by.
I'm going to use my bonus action, though, to fling the other axe right at the rider.
Please do.
I will. What? I got a 22.
Oh, shit. All right, your hand axe flies true and manages to sink into, like, the very edge of the shoulder of this figure. And then you see the red begin to bleed through the completely white linen robes of this individual. And it just sort of drips down in this very garish, like, stark contrast to the white and silver all around you. And this figure moves and turns its hood up towards you. And you see there, instead of a set of eyes like the others seem to have, it's this weird silver and black carved obsidian. It's almost like these demonic eyebrow sort of things turn towards you, and you can't see past the shadows of the deep mask
as it turns. I am a little weirded out, and I got 7 damage.
Yes. The figure in front of you doesn't seem to mind too terribly, but you feel this sense of, like, total ookiness as this gaze casts upon you. Despite the light and the brightness and the sun, there is no indication behind the eye holes that there is any actual, flesh or face to be seen.
Some kind of weird demon or some shit, I don't know.
Yeah. And then we're gonna jump so over to now the raiding party.
Oh yes, and a special shout out to our friend David Medinas, who drew fantastic character portraits.
David, thank you so much. They were so cool.
I made mine my profile picture on Facebook.
Wait, I haven't seen yours yet. I haven't seen Kara's yet.
Oh my god, it's cool as hell.
What the hell? I've only seen mine and Sawyer's. And by the way, that's... Arnadel's looking good. Thanks. She's
a babe. Dude, they're all babes.
Sawyer's got, like, incredible hair. That hair. Let me see. Oh, shit! Oh my god.
Looks so good.
Yeah.
David... Damn, Medinas, I hope we're saying that right, but, like, you're awesome. Thank you so much.
It kind of made our days. And by kind of, I mean, like, holy fuck. Like, that was...
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was cool. That's special. That's special. And...
I think having fan art, like, of your show is the most rewarding thing I can imagine.
Oh, man.
He needs to get... That's fucking special. And... Honestly, that shit, I'm like, oh, I don't know if anybody can do better. Like,
You're good. Actually, I'm gonna run
bathroom? Real quick. Okay. I would love to see, like, a video game with those as, like, the characters you can play as. Honestly, like, I hear the music, like, yes.
Oh my god, I'm sorry, I forgot my drink in the kitchen.
Get out of here.
I'll be so back.
I don't want you back here without that. Next round of combat.
Guys, we gotta come up with a plan.
A plan to...
What is the plan? What's going on?
I don't even know if I see you guys. If I'm near any of you.
You're like falling off of a wing, right?
Yeah, I'm somewhere to the side of it.
That's a
big ass wings.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
We're okay now.
It's possible.
I have whiskey.
Can you remind us, like, where we are in reference to relative to each other?
So if you're looking at, so imagine a north by south west by east. So if west is to your left and east is to your right on whatever situation. So Kara, you are on the far outside ring on the far south. Arnadel and Aaron, you are exactly in the second ring directly north of Kara. The rock is right there in the middle. And then Saye, you are now directly north of the rock on the inner ring.
Oh, we're not by each other at all.
Far across. No.
How much space? How much space is it? Like, how many feet in diameter are these rings from each other? Like, what would be the radius difference?
So the rock itself, so the center circle, is solidly a 30 by 30 foot monster.
Okay, that's
so huge.
Okay, so 15 foot radius.
It's a very
big critter.
Far amount of distance in between you and Saye right now.
Yeah.
And then each ring itself would be about 10 feet.
Oh, okay. That's all right. That's like, I could yell at...
So it's a very tight circle.
Yeah. I could yell at Kara if I needed to.
Yeah.
Yeah, you and Kara could definitely... You're in visual range, and you're also within yelling range.
Okay.
But it would be with the commotion, it would be you would have to scream at the top of your lungs to talk to her.
Gotcha.
There's or almost no chance of Saye...
Okay, my awakened mind, I just have to make sure, let me check to make sure what the range is on that. I think it's like either 30 or 60 feet.
I think it's 30.
I think it's 30 too, but I'm going to also double check just because I love looking at this book.
Books are nice.
We talked about this before we signed on, like how many of you fair listeners, when you get a new book, like to smell the pages? That sounds so creepy.
Oh my God, it's so real.
Yeah, but for real, like, I love smelling the pages.
So, like, I posted a thing like, oh, I'm waiting for my copy of Yawning Portal. They're like, well, you know, if you have, you know, roll 20, you can just look it up. I'm like,
no.
Like, I can't. I have to hold it in my hands.
You gotta feel the pages. And
experience it. Tactilely experience it. So another description I was waiting on until we were all back. So everybody's surrounded in these rings. You know, you have the two kind of wargs and the riders on the outside. So now these folks in the center of the circle are beginning to break and move off. So clearly they've recognized that things are not going their way, and they are trying to run off as quickly as possible now. So actually on their turn, which is right now, all of the footmen are going to be running off 30 feet in all directions as a general breaking. So what's happening now is you all are in this general position, right? Kind of positioned around the rock. And then the footmen are just breaking off to follow the two warg leaders, who one is posted to the northeast and one is posted to the southwest. So Kara, the one you just hit is to the southwest.
Okay.
And then the other one's to the northeast on two very separate sides of this large circle. The northwest is the rider who's wearing this freaky, weird mask. I'm sorry, the southwest.
Yeah.
Southwest.
Who it sounds like seems pretty unperturbed by all of this. The rider that's freaky deaky.
Yeah. You can't see facial expressions at all, so you have no way of determining how much or how little this writer is disturbed.
Farewell.
We've survived this fight all the way to mid-roll, taking a minute to hit the basics. Rate and review, tell your best friends about us, visit our website, theventuremaidens.com, follow us on Twitter at @venturemaidens, tune into our live streams every other Wednesday at 8:30 Pacific, and reach out in general. We want to hear what kind of games you're up to and what you think about the show. And one more thing, we want to give a big thank you to our awesome sponsor, Audible.com. For you, the listeners of the Venture Maidens podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. I just decided to start Robert Jordan's The Wheel of Time series again, and I was psyched to learn I could use my trial to download The Eye of the World. That's 40 hours of listening content, all for free. If you love fantasy or good storytelling, you have to do it. Start your risk-free trial today by going to audibletrial.com/DSPN. Again, that's audibletrial.com/DSPN for your free audiobook. All right, let's see what the maidens are up to.
So that's the rock's turn. So basically it takes its great giant wingspan and just begins to drift up and up and carries on up into the sky, now suddenly free with this newly given vigor and as it's floating up. So I'm actually going to need you all in the middle ring to make dexterity saves for me, just from the force of this thing's wings trying to push you back. So that's going to be Sawyer, Arnadel, and Aaron.
Okay. I don't know what I did with my dice. Okay. So dexterity saves?
So Kara, you're just far enough away that you don't have to make this.
Oh, yeah.
Dexterity, yeah.
I rolled a
The wind is just...
I rolled a 9.
...pushing you.
I got a 13.
Right. So you actually both get pushed back 5 feet, so you're pushed back towards the outer ring as this thing's wings are just going to town, and dust is flipping up, and it's hard to see, and it's just a whole clusterfuck as this giant bird is taking off into the sky. But you manage to keep your footing, as does Aaron, moving back and through. All right, Arnadel.
Which bolt? Yeah. Which bolt?
All right, so you don't have to make any rolls, you just roll again for damage.
Aww. 3 damage.
This guy is just like running out there. He's like, "Why are you hitting me?" And is like running off into the desert. Like, stop it! And encased in this green and like black blue light.
Ow!
As he's running away.
Does he say that? Does he say that in common?
Yeah, no. In common, he's like, "Why? Ow!" It's like he jumps. One of those Cartoon Network things, he jumps like 2 feet up in the air as he was at him. He just dropped his spear completely. A lot of these footmen seem to be just totally like abandoning the cause now that you've killed over half their party. And this creature is clearly getting away. And they had no idea this was going to happen.
Ha ha!
Sawyer.
Wait, so everyone is now left basically the center where the rock has just taken off and they're all, this circle's expanding.
Yes.
I want to run the other way. I want to run towards the center of that now larger circle.
So the way things are happening right now, you just got pushed back away from the center because the rock was like taking off and moving. Yeah. So still like the wind and the dust and everything would give you a really hard time to move towards the center. So I would need you to make at least a dexterity or a constitution to get towards. So imagine this bird is still, because this is all happening in the same 6 seconds, right? This giant bird is just, like, taking off and sending this column of air and force down towards the center.
All right, I'll make a dex save. That's 16.
Okay, yeah, so you bob and you weave your way through the net columns of dust and smoke that are being conjured up by this creature, duck and roll and land yourself in the center directly underneath the great bird. So now you're standing, it's actually this huge shadow is cast upon the ground where this creature is taking off because it is the largest form of shade or shape in this entire place. Mm-hmm. You feel a little bit colder as you're standing underneath.
Way to work on your airbending skills.
Yeah, hope it doesn't crap.
Oh god. Alright, I'm gonna stay put until it takes off.
So probably another full round and it'll be like at least 30 feet up in the air.
Okay.
So right now it's hovering, it's about 15 feet up.
Okay.
But with its injuries, it took a little bit of time to get its just massive body weight moving.
Alright. Can I see now from where I am where the other two are, or is it still too dusty?
No, you can see now. So everything now, you're in the very, very center of the ring, so everything that's happening is 20 feet away from you at the forest.
Okay. I want to try to shout to Arnadel. Since she's close and probably listening, we should run back to the hut thing, the igloo.
Do you want me to roll a perception check, or do you want me to wait till my turn?
No, you can hear it.
Okay. Okay. So Kara and Valerius within 30 feet.
Yes.
And the igloo is still up.
Yes. About 30 feet to the west of the outside rim.
Okay. So awaken mine. Everybody get back to the igloo! Egg. Right now!
And no one can respond to you, as we've determined.
Yeah.
Correct, yes.
But Aaron definitely looks over at you and he's like, since you took one of his daggers, he's got one of in his hand, and he's like, cool. Like, thumbs up.
What?
I don't know. And then he just starts running. We didn't talk about that.
Everything needs a conversation. Aw, he called me babe. That's sweet.
He's my babe.
Yeah, and so Valerius at this point has just been sort of, because he's on top of a horse. The horse, who was left over from the cart that you had blocked in the igloo. So he's like moving back and forth on the horse as he's been this whole time. Clearly like casting spells, though like it's obviously like nothing you've doing seen something. Or like making hand signals that look real wizardy.
Valerius, it's time for dressage later.
Oh. No. What?
How droll.
We're in danger! And then he suddenly looks away from me and is like, I don't want to continue this conversation.
That's right.
Sage, I am very impressed. Me neither. I am impressed with your horse knowledge.
Yeah.
Thank
you. And Kara. It's up to you.
I'm squared off with this dude, so I'm gonna keep fighting him.
This dude is still about 10 feet away from you.
That's perfect.
So he hasn't, like, come running towards you, and you haven't moved towards him. It's just been kind of this cold stand. Oh, the fastest guns in the
tumble.
World.
assault covered tumbleweed rolls past. Yeah, so I am backing down from a fight, and I don't like the cut of his jib, even though precisely because I can't see it, so I can't judge its worthiness. So I am gonna keep fighting this dude.
Is this like some Witch King shit?
Oh god, I hope not. If it is, I'm about to get in some real trouble.
I hope you're like...
Yeah, she's gonna...
I hope you're like, I have
come
no
at
man.
Her, come at him with his with her battle axe. A-charging.
Right. A-charging?
A-charging. I'm a-charging my laser.
Excellent. Hey.
I got an 18.
Does not hit the armor.
No!
So as you run and do, like, an upswing with your battle axe, charging towards this individual who has been unseated from the warg, right? And then three of the footmen are kind of clustered around his warg on the far side of you, like, waiting for further instruction. They almost to turn towards you with this slow awareness, almost as if they aren't concerned. And the strike of your axe rings true and sinks deeply into the armor of whatever this individual is wearing, cutting across between their hip and their chest piece. You see the black sort of ceramic mask move down and calmly observe your strike. And then two gauntleted hands grip the edges of your axe and shove it out and backwards out of their own chest cavity. I will need you to make a constitution save for me.
Oh my god.
Very well. I'm gonna use my bonus action to chop him again. What? Natural 20!
Whoa! Alright, so you see as this figure shoves the axe backwards towards you, so suddenly, your axe becomes encased in this sickening, strange, red, black, orange combination of flames. So your hands become hot and, like, feel acidy and weird, as you're trying to maintain, but you push through it and keep a grip on your blade for your bonus action.
Swing at him again!
That's some shit.
Oh, it's definitely not going to hit.
See
it's
this?
A 15.
You would see the burst of flames coming off but both Sawyer and Arnadel, you're too far away to get specifics on this.
Oh!
So a 15 does not hit.
Ah, sadness.
So your blow comes clanging and bouncing off of this armor. So this opponent was dressed in the white robes, you know, of desert travel beyond that, but you have clearly, like, this thing is decked in full armor underneath this layer. Yeah, the orange and red fire just sort of, like, threw your guard off, and you aren't able to land a solid hit. And then, moving onwards. So now to the east. This group, now that it's unmolested by you guys, just begins to book it off across the desert. So this warg rider is making their way out, and the three footmen are just charging behind this creature.
That makes me wonder if these people know about the creature that attacked Kara. Because, like, if you knew that your fellow attacker was, like, powerful like that, or had something like that up their sleeve, I feel like they would probably be like, fuckers, like, look what we got on our team. But they're running, so
I think he is their leader.
So there are three of the footmen still standing by the opponent Kara is squaring off against.
Okay, so they're... Gotcha.
There was no more information collected on the warg rider to the northeast, but clearly the fight is lost, and they're booking it. So at this moment, the rock, so Sawyer, you begin to feel like beast, just the shadow of this thing rise and move over the desert as it goes and descends directly upon that warg rider who you saw before. And you see the beak move and snap this warg and rider in unison together and carry it upwards in its jaws, and as it does so, with its two great talons below it, picks up two of the footmen in one deft move and takes up and towards the sky.
Oh my
and,
God.
As you go and pay it general attention to it, you hear in the distance a scream of just,
ah! Oh, wow.
As this happens off in the distance as the rock takes its revenge.
Rock's not hungry anymore. Again, Arnadel screams again, get to the egg!
Get to the egg!
We have a temporary alliance.
You're gonna have to drag me away from this motherfucker, because they know I'm not leaving.
Should I witch bolt you? I mean, Eldritch blast you? What's that?
It's Arnadel's turn. Aaron is also standing beside you. He's like, I don't know what to do.
I put my hand on his mouth. I pinch his lips together, and I'm just like, get to the fucking egg! Get to the egg! And then I'm going to...
NPC. Oh my God. She's so bossy.
He is asking too many goddamn fucking questions. Just move!
Just do what I say! Later.
Move it!
Okay. He loves passive aggressive.
That's not that,
that
is
was that wasn't even passive. That was just plain aggressive.
That was very upfront. I'm gonna give a loving. Can we do a little bit of role playing where Arnadel feels like she knows just the right amount of magical energy to use to snap Kara out of her rage, so that she can kind of get with it. I'm not attacking her. It's just the right amount of energy. So that Kara
if I take
does
damage,
not feel
my
attacked.
Rage keeps going.
It's like, hey, snap out of it, type zap.
Between you two.
All right, Kara, what do you want? What do you want from me? What do you need? What do you need?
You will physically have to drag me away, because if I take damage, that prolongs the rage.
All right.
How long does this rage last for?
It lasts for a minute. Or until I am unconscious.
All right, so my turn. I'm how far away? How many feet away am I from Kara?
So you're right now about 10 feet.
All right, I'm going to run over to Kara. I'm going to get right in her face in front of her. I'm going to grab her like this. Okay, for those of you who can't see,
you
I'm
shake
like,
it around.
Like, you know, yeah, you like
shake
gra-
the cheeks, grab
you put
the
your
cheeks.
You put your hands on somebody's face, and you're just like, not in a you're in like, a mean way, just like, woman, like if they're, you know, like your friend is like way
Oscar
too wasted.
Yeah, Oscar-winning moment, I'm grabbing your face, and we can have a dramatic dialogue.
Dramatic dialogue. And the dialogue is, Arnadel says, what do I say?
Let me tell you, it's dramatic.
Kara! 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 What do you do?
What is it, Arnie?
Come with me, if you want to live!
God damn it.
Oscar worthy indeed.
And I shout, get down! Get into the igloo!
Get to the igloo! Thank you.
This is so dumb.
I know. This is really dumb. I can't believe that's where it went.
Kara.
What do you do?
I don't know. Do you want to receive this? If you want, like, you can make a...
Can we roll?
Ah, fuck. I don't know. Make a, roll wisdom? A persuasion versus a...
Goddamn stubborn roll.
Yeah, like, what would that be? Like a constitution, maybe? Because that's, like, constitution.
I'll make a con check, yeah.
Yeah, I think that constitution makes sense. Versus...
My persuasion.
Persuasion would be good.
Well, I got a 5, okay. So I think you win.
I literally got a 21 on persuasion, so.
I'm persuaded. I'm reluctant, but okay.
You went from green to normal.
Yeah, exactly.
So as you're having that moment, and Kara is brought out of her rage, Sawyer, it's actually your turn.
Now I'm trying to help them, going towards them and help them all get into the igloo as well. The egg.
Can you make a perception check for me, please?
That's 22.
Okay. So as you're running by, like, Kara and Arnadel have this moment where they're, like, grabbing each other's faces, like, in the middle of this combat, and Valerius is bolting past on a horse, and Aaron is running by trying to be like, guys, we don't have time, and, like, move through. And in the midst of all this chaos, it's almost like your vision seems to singularly focus and turn its attention to this figure who's standing in front of your companions. And suddenly you recognize everything. That mask that's waiting under the white hood. You know it. You've seen it.
Oh no.
Oh my God.
Before.
No.
And the fear and the panic rises as in your chest as you just know intricately. That was the face of the thing that killed your mother.
Shut up!
Oh no!
And you only have a moment to comprehend that as, like, you have to run past and move through, just, like, blasting through, like, the sands and the heat and everything, and you're not sure what it was, but, like, and everything, the situation, that's the one thing that's clear to you, is that your fucking enemy is standing 20 feet away from you at this very moment. And all you can do is keep running.
I didn't.
That's all I want to do? I just run, like, run away?
That's in the middle of what you're doing.
You're not just ready that. Yet. You're not ready.
Oh, God.
So you are paused. You've been running now for 30 feet. You have a standard action. If you want to keep running, you can. Towards the igloo, you're still about 30 feet away. It would take the rest of your round. Or you can make a standard action.
Oh, I can't. Oh, I don't know. I'm frozen.
Mm-hmm. Also valid if you want to try, if you want need to hold your action.
I think she would be. I think she would just be stuck.
Yeah.
Valid.
She's very confused as to what to do right now.
Are you?
So as that happens and you hold, you hear, you don't even actually hear, it's all coming from this weird tunnel place where you're so focused on what's going on, it's like the real world becomes a blur for you for a moment, and then you hear the distant clattering of hooves behind you, and you feel a hand reach out to you on the back of your robe, like,
no!
And just pull you up and towards a horse, like,
what?
We need to go, we don't have time to be doing this. Come on, sightseeing for later. And you feel a big strength pulling you up onto the back of the horse as Valerius charges through and just seems to, like, force you onto the back of a horse with a strength, like, even beyond him as you're just booking your way towards this igloo. And he carries you on horseback and you make your way generally inside. And Kara, before you have a chance to react, the last thing you see is, like, your monk companion just sort of freeze. In a way she's never done. She's always been so reactive and so ready for combat. You know, this is just a completely odd opportunity before Valerius rushes in, just pauses dead in the middle of everything, and gets swept up. And you saw just right before, like, you were able to process, this figure was moving towards her at this great speed and distance with this just... his sharp, like, scimitar blade drawn as he was moving forward for the killing blow. And then Valerius scooped her at the last minute. But as this figure watches the two of them go, this black sort of shimmering powder seemed to descend from the pommel of his hilt. And this huge flash of black smoke smog seemed to encompass himself and the three footmen that were around him. So as you run up or try to make your strike for that blow, but everything is gone. Those three are gone. And then the rock has decimated the crew to the northeast. And now all you can see left of this battle are the bodies around you and the salt flats and this giant beast floating off into the sky. That's the end of combat.
Make a mental note of this.
Okay. So, did Valerius, like, pick her up and did Valerius put her on the horse with him?
On the back of the horse.
He's strong.
With the strength uncommon. You think there might have been some magic involved there. Strength of the bearer. Something.
They're like, what the hell?
Did we end up getting back to the igloo?
Do we get the sense that the rock isn't returning? It's now pleased with its catch.
Yeah, definitely the rock. So after taking the two footmen, dropping them to their death, and then also taking the warg and the rider. So you actually, if you want to track it for about 5 minutes, do y'all want to stay and do that?
Yeah. Well, okay, yeah. Let's vote.
You have the igloo there, so it's earthen shaped for you, so it's not going anywhere. It's the way the spell works.
I mean, I just want to, like, high-five this rock. Like, hey, man, thanks for helping us out. Like, please don't hunt us. Thanks.
So, at the end of the day, based on your general perceptions, like, you think the creature was smart enough to understand, like, who was its ally and who was its enemy. But, like, beyond that, trying to ask it diplomatic favors, and, I mean, it is still... it is a bird. It is bird brain. The noblest of all the bird brains.
I would imagine that one in particular probably wouldn't try to, like, I feel like it would recognize us, right? Like, if we continued on our journey, like, our journey lasted another, like, 3 days, that rock in particular wouldn't hunt us. That's all
you
I'm asking.
You get that sense. Yeah. Like, if you hang out for a bit, you see it descends back down after a while and begins to eat the corpses of the individuals it dropped from a great height. And with a full belly, the rock moves off again into the desert, probably having the best day of meals it's had in a really long time after eating a horse and two fallen companions. And they'll probably come back for the carrion bodies in a couple weeks, because even the noblest of birds isn't beyond that. And Valerius and Aaron, sort of after this whole ordeal, are like, well, we survived that. I mean, that's a pretty good sign that I think things will go well for us in the future. I estimate we're only about 8 hours ride away from the fortress, if you are willing to go further for the day. I think it's in our best interests to carry on words.
Yeah, Valerius, do you have any... I'm, like, exhausted. Do you have any spells that will help us along, or are we, like, gonna be walking along? We walk in this?
We can ride in the court. In the cart. I believe if we hurry along, 8 hours shan't be a problem. If we've already interrupted a raiding party from the breach, I don't believe they will be sending another.
Alright, well, let's go.
Yeah. Yeah, so you begin to make your way across the breach. And again, it's this just this horrible, desolate climate of these flat, long periods of ground interrupted barely by scraggly bushes or trees or anything. But eventually, over that next 8 hours, you make your way to the base of the mountain range that you've been seeing in the far distance this whole time. This mountain range that has, you know, across the peaks, this dusting of snow and icy ground, promising that somewhere beyond it you're moving into a sort of arctic climate. And you approach it eventually, like, moving up to the very base of the mountains. And as you approach this great scene, Valerius hops off of the cart now with this exhausted horse who's been pulling you for so long, but making it work and has been riding hard just to get through all of this. He walks forward and with his staff held aloft, swings it to make these arcane symbols in the air, so this glowing blue light emerges, and this doorway opens up in front of the mountainside. Welcome, one and all, to the Elysium Keep.
We finally made it.
I hear the Jurassic Park theme music playing in my head as this happens. Ba 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 da 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 da
da da da da da da da da. You missed my beautiful rendition. Kara's like, great, where's the ale?
That's where we'll end it, because we, you know, had to, because it's 10:30. Well, thank you everyone so much for tuning in to episode 14 of the Venture Maidens podcast. I, of course, have been your Dungeon Master, Celeste Konowich.
And I have been your elven warlock Arnadel, played by Brittany.
And I tried to be your human monk Saya, played by Nassim.
I tried so hard.
But in the end, I had no fucking internet.
Oh,
so good.
Womp womp. And I've been Kara, your barbarian friend.
Yeah, and a special thanks to everyone who tuned in for a bonus episode last week. I know it was kind of like a differentiation, but we're setting up our Patreon. We're setting up, like, bonus episodes for y'all to enjoy and kind of, like, take a break from the main story every once in a while. But, like, we love it, and we love you, and we're getting so much support, and thank you so much. And thank you again to David Medinas for doing those rad little images of all the characters. I love them so much.
Those are going to be on the art. And I have to also say, I'm starting to understand how important it is to rate and motherfucking review. If you have a second, rate our podcast and review it.
Yeah, seriously. Like, I know.
That's a,
like,
big deal.
Please and thank you.
Yeah, the minute I, like, figured out, like, how horrible it is if you don't get enough ratings, you just drop into obscurity on websites. It's so brutal if you don't get enough rate reviews. If just every person who listened, like, left a rating or review on any site, we'd be so sad.
Get on and write a creative
I ass. I doth beseech thee.
And make sure you put 5 stars in that.
Oh, man. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening. We're going to tune out for the night, but thank you, everyone. And you know what? Venture away.
Venture fucking away.
Venture fucking away. All day. Every day.
Done.
Hey listeners, this is Arnadelle here to say thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Venture Maidens. Glad we finally got those rocks off our tail. Anyway, make sure you take a second to write us a review and bestow some stars upon us. When I'm having a bad day at work or just in life, I sit down and read some of those reviews. Y'all are sweet. Don't forget to also visit our website to check out some of my handiwork and links to all of our social media goodness. Also, make sure you check out the other podcasts on our network. Don't Split the Podcast Network, like Tabletop Babble or Have Spellbook Will Travel. And of course, don't miss out on the sweet free trial link to Audible at the bottom of our page. You like, get a free audiobook. Seriously, don't be dumb. Get a free audiobook. I'd also like to say a huge thank you to Paul Harping for our wonderful introductions each episode, and to Anxious Sounds for our lovely outro track. Definitely go to his Bandcamp page. He just released a new album titled 3 AM, and I've heard that there's been some confusion in finding him. Just type Anxious, and it's the second one down usually on Bandcamp. It's got a period before and after the word Anxious out of San Francisco. I hope that clears everything up. Anyway, that is all for me, and thank you so much for listening, and adventure away.
I'm James Intricasso, and I love tabletop role-playing games. I've got a new podcast called Tabletop Babble that talks RPG advice, interviews, reviews, and news with some of the top names in the industry. The conversation is casual, just like it would be if we were hanging out at a convention or local-friendly game store. Get a new episode each week at DontSplitThePodcastNetwork.com or wherever podcasts are available for free.